to the Famous Monsters Podcast. We're always here to talk about horror, fantasy, and sci-fi, and everything goes nerdery. With me today is Chase.
How's it going?
Newcomer Natalie.
What's up, guys?
And Eleni.
How's it going, guys?
And of course, I am George, your jack of all trades. Now, today we're going to be talking about something that's very dear to all of us, and it is Netflix.
What would we do without Netflix?
Go back to Blockbuster.
Where?
Some tombstone.
I heard there's actually a function one somewhere.
It's like two of them or something.
Yeah. Karen, one of our graphic designers, was actually telling us that they still have Blockbuster down in Mexico.
Really?
Yeah, fully functioning. Works just like
I mean, used that's, to. They were franchised, so people just sort of kept doing it is what I heard.
Yeah.
So there's a couple relics there somewhere.
Somewhere out there, the mythical Blockbuster still exists.
Somewhere over the
I feel
rainbow.
Like it's one of those things we keep on bringing it back up every once in a
yeah.
while.
Yeah.
Blockbuster.
Yeah.
Because we miss you so much.
But we have Netflix now.
Yeah. Yeah, Netflix was definitely the rental store killer. But like now it's coming to a place
well,
where it's
plus,
not...
It's that
a
TV.
Plus Redbox.
Yeah, and Redbox, yeah. Mm-hmm. But Netflix started it. Like, it had the streaming, plus you can get the videos right through the mail. Like, I love everything delivered to me.
Oh, totally.
That's how I live my life.
Yeah.
I get my groceries delivered, I get my clothes delivered, I get everything delivered. If I don't have to leave my home, it is perfection.
Mm-hmm.
And Netflix kind of really honed in on that. And that, now they're at a place where they're kind of killing, in a good way, the, you know, film and television.
Yeah,
it's
they're
like,
TV killers.
Why would you go to watch something on network or cable when you could just either wait or see something that's only Netflix catered?
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm.
You know, and with that, like, this week we have
so many
the Defenders coming out.
Yeah.
Which is going to be huge and phenomenal. Hopefully it's just ridiculous and blows everything out of the water.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
totally.
That's my hopes, at least, because I think we all probably watched Daredevil and Jessica Jones, Luke Cage. And some people probably suffered through Iron Fist, but we get
every family needs a black sheep.
You know, that's theirs. It's okay.
Maybe he's a better team player.
Maybe, yeah. You know, now he's had some off time. Maybe he did some practicing.
He'll be the support.
Yeah.
It's like me in video games. It's like, I'm not going to do anything, but I'll support you.
I'll be there to take all the hits.
Yeah. It's like if you need something, like, oh my gosh, I dropped this. Like, here you go, buddy. I'll hand it to you.
Like,
go kick some butt, pal.
It's like the bard of the party.
Yeah. He takes all the hits and he also takes some songs along the way. Someone has to tell the tale, right?
Someone
why
has
not
to tell
be him?
Tale.
Yep.
I'll tell you why not, because there's someone better. That's why. Damn. George, you have some harshness here. You obviously didn't like the show. Maybe.
Wow.
I don't know.
Tell me how you really feel.
Silence covers it, right? I think so. Have you? What you guys watched on this series? What was some of your thoughts leading up until the Defenders?
Well, I saw Daredevil, and I saw Luke Cage.
Yeah.
I did not see the other two.
I did not. I did not see it.
I did not, George. I did not. Oh, hi, Natalie.
I thought that, I mean, Daredevil was, like, my new love. I loved that show, but Jessica Jones, for me, was good, but I couldn't get through the whole thing because it was kind of depressing to me. It's pretty dark. It was very dark.
Sadness.
Ooh, what about you, Eleni?
I actually haven't seen any of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, snap. So you're, like, our fresh newbie.
Oh, yeah.
This is perfect.
They're all those things where it's like they're on my list of things to watch. I just have to kind of make the time or get the focus for it, because then I just, like, on the weekends end up binging something else and playing video games, stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's hard to section out your free time.
I think I'm have the power. You can just go home. All right, early every day and go watch some Daredevil. All right.
Okay,
that's
for sure.
That's what you get to do now. All right.
Okay.
That's your job description. Just watch Netflix shows.
I mean, I have a computer here.
All right.
I could do it here.
You could, yeah, I guess.
I could, but
don't
want
we don't
want to
pay
to.
You for it.
The other thing is the list will always grow because they keep releasing new things that I want to watch.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
With Marvel
so
and
I'm behind.
Netflix,
so
yeah,
I'm the
just,
baby here.
It's true.
Yeah.
Well, I was like, personally, I've watched the whole thing. I'm comic book fan. I love Marvel. I love everything they're doing. You know, they're not perfect, but they know what they're doing. They know how to make something entertaining. And I think what's been really great with these Netflix Marvel shows is that they're kind of taking like the DC comic book approach, where they're villains, kind of make the show more appealing than the actual hero. Granted, the heroes are amazing, too.
That's good to know, because I'm a big fan of DC Comics. Yeah, I'm not as into Marvel Comics, but I love DC Comics.
Then definitely, yes, for sure. Watch these
shows. I think that was part of my hesitation, too, is, like, how into this am I going to be if I'm, like, a DC fan?
I think it's insane. And it's dark. They take it definitely a darker approach. Yeah. So, again, it's, like, it's that whole DC feel. Right. While still living in that kind of bright Marvel world, like, you're gonna have those moments where they give you a joke here or there, you know, to lighten up everything, but it's still, it's in a very dark world visually and like psychologically. You know, like, the season one of Daredevil, you got Vincent D'Onofrio as Kingpin, and he freaking kills it.
Yeah,
he knocks it out of the park, and they write him in a way
he kills people.
I'm like, oh my god, he's crushing it physically with, you know, your head is getting crushed, but he's also crushing it in the business underground in the world.
Oh, that was amazing. Yeah, he was a really good villain.
Can you take a look at the pin number on the side of my car door here? Check the airs yet? Smash.
Brunch. Dude is brutal. Like, think of, like, brutal to the point of, like, American History X with Edward Norton doing the curb stomp. It's like that.
Oh, yeah. Let's just say you wouldn't see it in any of the Marvel movies.
That's fair.
Yeah, like, it's like the grown-up version of the Marvel movies.
Very much so, yeah. Like, it's, this is their way of doing something very dark without compromising the movie world. You know, even though they're going through a dark situation too. Their villains, like, you feel for these villains in the Netflix Marvel shows as opposed to, like, the movies, or even just, like, in the comic books in general, where it's like, all right, this guy's just a bad guy. I really don't care.
He's just a jerk. You know?
But you see, like, Kingpin's history, it's like, oh, he wasn't really a bad guy. It's just he was raised in a bad neighborhood. His dad was kind of a pain in the butt, and he abused his mom. He abused him. You know, it's like, okay, I could see why he would become such a bad guy.
Yeah.
He was never given the opportunity to be good or shown how to be good. So what else could he know? So you really feel bad for him within the whole show. You know, again, with Jessica Jones, same thing with Kilgrave, with the Purple Man. Comic book, he's just a bad guy. But in the show, it's like you find out, oh, his parents, again, it's like the parents were abusing him. And it shows that whole other spectrum where, like, Batman's like, oh, my parents died. Now I got to avenge them. You know, Aquaman, my parents died. I got to avenge them. You know, well,
not a common theme.
Everybody out there with children, pay attention. Raise your kids right.
Yeah.
Don't screw up.
Yeah, don't die. Well, actually, if you do die, don't screw up. If you do die early, make sure to leave them massive amounts of money so they can become Batman.
Yeah.
Or Green Arrow.
Don't die unless you're rich.
I mean, hopefully they'd end up being a good Batman and not just like a really...
Not
lame
an owl
one.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Comic book references. You'll get them.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, I feel like that's been like the biggest reason to watch those shows is that it's, they're really thinking about it. It's like every character means something. Everyone has some kind of depth, you know, towards them. It's like, okay, I don't feel like this person maybe should die. Maybe I want to root for this person as opposed to the hero. You know, it's like everyone is flawed in some way. It's very humanistic, which is amazing.
Which one of your favorite scenes?
My favorite scenes?
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's always going to go back to Daredevil. Like I said, Daredevil's like their Iron Man. They took this character that no one cared about anymore, and they made it amazing.
Yes.
Well, I mean, considering the last piece of Daredevil media that we were given.
Piece of...
People might disagree with me on this, but I actually thought that movie, for 70% of it, was actually pretty well done. If you cancel out... some of the fight scenes with Daredevil and Elektra, and just the whole love thing with Daredevil and Elektra, which is too bad because there's a great story behind that. But like, Ben Affleck, to me, didn't do that bad of a job. It's just, it goes back to, like, there's directing that goes into that.
Yeah.
There's writing that goes into it. There's so much more. It's like, it's not like he created the whole story. There's other things.
Oh,
like,
yeah. No,
as a visual standpoint, like, it matched up with the comic book very well. And that's just from a person who's, like, reading every panel. It's like, they put panel to screen on
like
a lot
that.
Of things.
Cool.
Which was very nice.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to fully crap on that movie. And if and to be honest, the director's cut is actually a lot better than the it's pretty good. But on that point, though, the show surpasses the movie 1,000 times.
And it's with
some of those fight scenes. The fight scenes are very brutal. It's very much like if you've seen Atomic Blonde. It's like those. It's a lot of shots are just one shot, one camera, one shot, and it's just going through like a whole building. It doesn't cut away. And it's just him, like, fighting, like, 20 dudes at once, and he's getting tired.
Yeah. it's not like one of those stupid fight movies. It's like, this dude just, like, beat up 100 people, and he's just like, yeah, I'm a little tired now. it's like you see him actually like falling down because he's so fatigued from fighting. Yeah. Yeah. And then another guy comes out and he's like, ah, and he has to like fight this guy.
It's too close. Sounds like, what, another one?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's something you see like in an actual fight. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, fighting skills aside, like, it's like, no one fights like that. It's like supreme MMA status.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like,
and he's blind.
Yeah, and he's blind. But it's like he actually gets tired, and that really, I was like, that makes it so much more believable now. Mm-hmm. It's like something more to draw you into it and be like, oh, it's not all just super complete fiction.
I mean,
it's like, this is enjoyable.
Sorry. The whole thing basically is that way. It's just the whole thing with the Netflix Marvel series is that they just feel a lot more realistic mm-hmm. than like the Marvel movies, even though it technically takes place in the same universe. In the movies, somebody gets knocked around like 37 times by 18 different villains. They just get back up and keep fighting and just kill another person.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you were saying with Daredevil, he'll be like leaning against the wall in between, you know, like, mm-hmm. or especially in the episode where he got stabbed, before he went out and rescued that kid. He was definitely not in a very good shape at that time, and you could see it with the way that they choreographed it. It was really well, really well put together.
Yeah, yeah, and all the shows really do capture that. Like even the more powerful characters, like Jessica Jones mm-hmm. and Luke Cage, like the two of them, is like they're super strong, they have super speed and all that kind of stuff, and mm-hmm. you still see them by the end of like the episode. They're just like.
I can only lift so many cars at the end of the day.
So, it's harder than it looks.
So which one of them would you guys recommend starting with? Is there one that I should start with when I start watching them? Or
I started with Daredevil.
I would actually go in order. Uh-huh. Go in, if okay. the order, specifically because the order in which it is shown, there are little Easter eggs and things that tie them all together that
right,
preps
cool.
you for the next one.
Yeah. Got it.
You know? So, like, for the Defenders, anyone who's coming into this show, mm-hmm. like, every season of each character, there's something looming in the background, and that's the Hand. They're they're this underworld organization based mm-hmm. in, like, this ninja, mystical arts world that is pretty much taking over New York and trying to take over the world, essentially. Mm-hmm. But they appear a little bit in every series, mostly in Daredevil and Iron Fist, but you'll see little things. Like, there's, like, some drugs being put around places and it'll have like a little dragon on it and that hints towards like Iron Fist and the Hand and all that stuff.
That's cool.
So it's little things like that, which is really nice for the comic book fans and just people who are just paying attention to the story in general. So I would advise watch it in order of which it came out and then it'll set you up very nicely for the Defenders.
So the Hand, they're like ninja status, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they're straight up ninjas. Yeah.
How come all like villainous ninjas have to be like an appendage, like the Hand, the Foot Clan.
Well, funny thing is people who don't know is that the Foot Clan is actually mimicked off of the Hand.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. So like Brian Laird and Kevin Eastman. Or Peele Laird, sorry, Peele Laird mm-hmm. and Kevin Eastman had they were fans of Daredevil and Batman and stuff like that, and they created the Ninja Turtles based off of that.
Nice.
So their Foot Clan is the Hand.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why there's that whole thing. But it is funny yeah. that there's the whole appendage thing.
I mean, Iron Fist.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's another appendage.
All the time.
All the time.
All of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Another fight scene I was thinking of, if I'm remembering, I'd only watched it the one time, so I'm trying to remember. Is the Punisher in jail?
And just, in season two, yes.
Yeah, and then just like this onslaught came at him. That was pretty intense.
It was. He makes his way to the Kingpin, who is in prison also from season one, mm-hmm. and they duke it out afterwards.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, and which then it shows exactly how powerful the Kingpin is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, dude is a beast. In the comic book, they make him like this huge mountain of a man, uh-huh. you know, and D'Onofrio, he gets bulky enough, and his persona definitely is gratifying in that essence. Like, he seems like this mountain of mm-hmm. a person to get past, mm-hmm. and the Punisher has a hard time. He may get his butt whooped a little bit from it, but it's true. It's a very intense scene. Can't remember his full name, but Berthnall.
I guess we're all clueless.
Gonna get that one thrown at me later. But the guy who was in The Walking Dead as Shane.
Yeah.
he does an amazing job as Punisher, which he'll have his own show coming out soon.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I was wondering about that.
Dude is ridiculous. And it's something because I was a big fan of Tom Jane. as Punisher. I thought he did a wonderful job.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And that movie was actually really good. Just puts a knife through a guy's head and you see it in the guy's mouth. Freaking, that's super cool. The violence was amazing. But Bernthal, freaking, he kicks it up a notch and a half and a thousand and just destroys everything. It was utter destruction. There's like, after watching season one and seeing a little bit of season two, it's like, oh, Daredevil's pretty badass. Who the hell's going to beat this guy? In comes the Punisher by himself with no ninja team. And pretty much he could have killed the Daredevil multiple times in the show. For a guy who has less training, well, I should say less training, he's just different training. He was trained as someone in the military and police officer and stuff like that. Well, Daredevil is really just this kid who gets trained by another blind guy how to fight.
Man, which when you hear it like that, it's like, that's not good training.
I think breaking it down to just calling Stick another blind guy maybe is misleading.
So blind guy turned this blind kid out of fight. He's really good. He's really good.
Stick, side note, is like someone who actually in the show works with the hand. Like, it's kind of misleading. It's like, all right, Stick is with the hand, which means that Daredevil essentially got trained by the hand, but the hand is the bad guy who he's trying to fight. So wait, is Stick a good guy or a bad guy? And especially when you see the trailers right now for the Defenders, because he's like, you guys have to work together to stop them. But it's like, wait, aren't you a part of the hand? What's going on? What are you doing really? It's like, so there's definitely like some kind of a deceivery going on. It's like
double agent stuff.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he doesn't know what's going on. You know, maybe he's in the meeting with the hand, and they're not saying that they're the hand, and they're like, oh yeah, so you're going to go do this for us, right? And he's like, oh yeah, of course, you're not the hand, right? And they're like, no, and they're just all shaking heads, yes,
each other. Business cards on the table that say the hand, it's like a big sign on the freaking building, but he can't see it when he walks in.
Your propellant business card sounds like a great idea, to be honest. Right? I want to get into that great business.
Everyone has to promote themselves somehow, right?
Somehow.
Any business cards.
You just put your rap sheet on it.
Right.
My name's John, henchman.
The henchiest henchman who ever henched.
So other shows.
Well, another thing that's coming out within this week, because Netflix doesn't just do shows, but they also do movies.
Mm-hmm.
And a movie coming out this week, which I'm pretty excited for, is Whatever Happened to Monday.
Oh, yeah.
Which has so
Amy Rapace from The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo and Prometheus and everything. Willem Dafoe, Glenn Close. It's like, it's a pretty...
Oh, Netflix is a big fan of Willem Dafoe lately.
It's true, yeah.
My boy Willem Dafoe.
He's in Death Note.
Yeah, he plays Ryuk in Death Note, which comes out next week.
We'll touch upon that momentarily, because we're all super excited about that.
Uh-huh.
But this movie, Whatever Happened to Monday, I think it's pretty interesting. It's in a futuristic world where we've populated the world so much that now we are limited to how many children we can have. Very much like what China's going through currently.
Kind of.
You know, kind of. But so the rule is, which Glenn Close's character seems like some kind of political figure, notifies that from now on, everyone can only have one child. If you have multiple children, they are sentenced to death. Also kind of very similar to that movie, The Giver.
They're just like killing people left and right and pretending it's like all mercy and like that they're just sending them to another.
In this one, it seems like in this movie they're very straight up. It's like, you had a second kid, we're taking that kid. You know the rules.
You messed up.
Bada boom.
Right. Sucks for you.
So someone ends up having seven children, and Willem Dafoe takes it upon himself to hide these children.
You mean like septuplets, right?
Septuplets. Yes. Yeah.
So like born all at once.
Yeah.
Pretty intense. That one sucks.
That's crazy.
That would be unfortunate.
You try for one kid and you get seven.
Yeah, in this world, it's not probably the best thing to do.
Just eeny, meeny, miny, moe, or what?
Before we get further into this, I'd say like if they seem like they're decently enough into the future, and like when you see some of the technology that's happening in this movie, it's like they seem kind of advanced.
Yeah.
They couldn't be advanced enough to see inside the person's tummy and see like, all right, I see you have multiple children in there. I'm going to take care of this now.
Maybe it was a sneaky one.
Maybe. Maybe.
It was like, I never went to see the doctor because I knew bad things were going to happen.
But from what I've seen in the trailer, they look like they're in a hospital.
I mean, there's
like a maternity ward.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, once it's time to give birth to seven babies, it's probably like best to do it in a hospital.
You kind of know you didn't have just one. Yeah.
Someone's going to the hospital over and over again to check on these things. I'm going to there's so many stipulations we don't know about, but I'm thinking like everything went according to plan. You know, so you were going to the doctors ahead of time. You know, you knew you were this many weeks pregnant. It's like, they should have had some technology that's like, we're going to just extract these six eggs and leave you with the one. Yeah. So that way everything evens out. And you don't have to have that feeling of guilt of like, we just killed a baby.
Right.
You know, we're killing a child. It's like, why go through that process?
Yeah.
You know? It could have been much simpler. But for some reason, they don't do that because then you lose the story, of course.
Right.
But in any case, the seven children are named after each day of the week. And within that, that's the day of the week they get to go out
and live this one person.
They all live the life of this one person.
Yeah.
And so eventually, one of them gets caught and is taken. So the other six take it upon themselves to try to find a way to find and save their sister.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that each of them has their own special, like, I don't know, ability, but something that they cater in, that they're really good at.
Their
skills, exactly.
Require a set of skills.
They're not just
playing. So, 6 of us, we can figure out anything. We won't find our sister.
You know what it kind of reminds me of is, did any of you ever read Calvin and Hobbes?
Yeah.
Back in the day when he had the duplicator or whatever?
Yeah.
There was this whole storyline where he had, like, a duplicator and he duplicated himself, like, a certain number of times, so he would never have to go to school.
Yeah.
So they would each take a day where they had to go to school, and of course, all of the others are exactly like him, so it didn't work out. No, it sounds really interesting.
It does. Spoiler alert, the one that gets, I mean, I'm assuming just from the title that the one that goes missing is Monday.
Yeah. In case you didn't know, guys.
In case you didn't know from the title. In case you
Monday
didn't put that together.
And of course, like, Glenn Close's character and the government finds out about this. And, like, now they're like, okay, we got to find out what's up with these sisters and take them out and all this stuff. And it becomes this huge, like, manhunt of sorts. But it looks, like, super
pretty good,
cool.
Yeah.
Like, the whole idea is awesome. Yeah. And it definitely plays upon, like, I was talking before, like Orphan Black. I even watched that. It kind of has that feel to it. You know, each girl's going to have her own very unique personality while still having to be very duplicit and live this other life.
And you still have to be the one, all of you have to be that one person.
Which I imagine, like, there must be, like, one goes out, and when they come home, they must have to then debreef.
Right.
And tell everyone, this is what I went through the day. This, this, and that. Here are my notes. Copy them, memorize them. You are now this person tomorrow.
Right.
Like, that whole idea seems crazy. It's like, imagine, like, they're probably within, like, their late 20s, early 30s by the time you see them as the Newman Red Pace's persona. And it's like, that's a lot of years to have to just be double studying, because you're studying regular things to just live in the world, and then to then learn every day you're learning something new.
Yeah, but you have six study partners.
They just all, I mean, they would all just have to educate each other. Like, they all got to go to school once a week.
Yeah.
Or even, like, Saturday and Sunday didn't get to go to school at all, presumably.
That's like
a crazy
way of learning.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a game of telephone.
You learn at school and then you come home and teach the other siblings.
You are the home teacher.
It'd be interesting.
Yeah. You know what I'm thinking, though? Something, this is reminding me of the movie about the magicians, The Prestige.
Oh, I love that movie.
One of them loses a finger, so does the other one.
Yeah, and, like, I saw a second trailer where it kind of hints towards something like that.
Yeah,
like,
so
I think, like, one of them has a scar, and it's like, well, now you all need a scar.
It's like, what happens to one of you happens to all of you kind of situation. It's like, oh, snap.
Yeah,
everyone be very careful.
It's crazy.
Don't play with sharp objects.
Man, and, like, with one being taken, the other ones can't really leave.
No,
so everything they do has to be in the shadows.
Yeah. It sounds like a really cool concept for a show.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was just
a
movie.
Movie you said it was a movie.
Yeah, it's a movie.
Okay, yeah. I'm excited to watch it.
It sounds really good.
I would say if they did do a show, I could see already, like, how they would have named every episode. So it would have been named after the days.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah, really.
There you go.
Boom. Thought of that.
Plot twist.
You're welcome.
Thursday is about Tuesday again.
But going back to Willem Dafoe, getting the mad parts.
Oh my god.
Death Note next week.
Death Note.
Now, this has been getting mixed reviews, because I'm personally excited. Honestly, like, I never get bothered by the, this is an American version, this is a Japanese version. I don't care.
Yeah,
I just want to see all of it.
I mean, it's when you watch the trailer, it's clearly not meant to be a direct adaptation, just putting him in an American high school instead.
Yeah.
Like, clearly they're taking a lot of, like, I guess liberties isn't really the right word, but they're taking the concept and the overall idea and going a totally new direction with it. That's what I'm excited about. Like, it could end up kind of like Dragon Ball Evolution.
Oh, no. I will become Monday if that happens.
You'll become Monday.
Well, whatever happened to Cheese?
But
a rope and a branch.
I'm super excited to see what they do with it, and I'm super excited to see William Dafoe as Reich. That was my favorite part of the trailer. Like, oh my god.
Fist.
Yeah. He looks like he's going to be so good at it. I'm so excited for it.
He Rio looks really good. Like, he looks like
he looks
on point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And his voice, like, I've always loved Willem Dafoe's voice. Mm-hmm. So, like, he played Green Goblin. He didn't look cool, but he sounded amazing.
He sounded perfect for him.
He sounded exactly like the Green Goblin in my mind.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, yeah, so some people who maybe don't know much about Death Note, it's like Chase. Yeah. You know, we have different levels of us here. Like, I've watched the cartoon and seen the live action films that were made in Japan, mm-hmm. and even as of 2015, it actually had a live action TV series too, which was like a mini series.
Oh, interesting.
So it's not the first TV series to come out for this.
Right.
But before all that, there was a manga in which we have Natalie and Eleni.
Uh-huh.
Explain that to us.
Yeah.
How much did that differ from the cartoon, if at all?
You watched the whole anime, right?
Yeah, it's been a while, but
yeah,
same. I mean, it's they were both, to be honest, it's one of the few I tend to prefer always the manga to
the
anime, but it's one of the few series where, like, there might have been differences, but I thoroughly enjoyed both.
Yeah, like, there was a couple there was at least one scene I can think that they added that usually when an anime adds a scene that's not in the manga, it's something weird and like filler and dumb. Looking at you, One Piece anime.
Called you out.
That just describes the whole series, though.
But there was like one scene with Light and L that, do you know the scene I'm talking about where he's washing his feet?
Oh,
it was like a weird
scene,
but it was really good. And it was like totally not like weird to have in there at all. Like it made it really good. I really liked it. And I was mentioning earlier, like talking to you, George, that the ending of the manga and anime was different, and I very much prefer the manga, but I've talked to people who really prefer the anime.
Prepare
Do you remember
spoilers.
What I'm talking
Prepare
about?
Prepare for spoilers.
Yeah.
Death Note was the first manga that I ever read.
Uh-huh.
I haven't gone back to it, so no, I'm not actually remembering.
So the main difference, wow, I'm gonna get like really spoiler heavy right now, but
spread it on.
Yeah. I mean, this is for the ones that came out like a while ago, but
and this might not even coincide with what happens in the show.
It exactly, it could be totally different
because the movie ended very differently.
Yeah, and that's you're gonna have to tell me about that because I don't know how
the movie ended.
But basically, what it comes down to in both the anime and the manga is there's this team that has been after Kira is the name that Light, the main character, uses to kind of do all of his like killing. That's what the world knows him as, is Kira.
And how, just for people who don't know, like, how does he do the killing specifically?
Oh, it's with the notebook. He has a notebook that was given to him by a death god. That's Ryuk that we were talking about. And if you write anyone's name in the notebook, they'll die. And there's all these extra rules to it where, like, all you do is write their name, they'll just die from a heart attack within 40 seconds. But you can put all these extra rules and everything in there. But basically, the way that Light does it is he does it in a way where he makes it look like people are being punished by a god for their crimes and everything. And his original goal is to rid the world of crime by basically threatening everyone into, you have to be good or Kira will get
die,
you. And then because he is doing all these things to try to protect his identity and go through all this, and there's like so many different complications, like his dad is the police officer who's after him, and then there's the I don't even know if you could really call him a detective because he's so much more than that.
L.
He goes by L. Is after him and he's so smart, he's basically figured it out. So the whole thing is basically genius versus genius. Anyway, this team that has been working for years and years and years to catch him finally sort of like identifies him and they have a little bit of like a face off in like a warehouse somewhere. And Ryuk has told Light from the beginning, when you die, I'm going to be the one to write your name in the book. And then finally Ryuk decides, you don't have a way out of this and I don't want to deal with this anymore. So I'm going to write your name in the book and you're going to die right now. Because he doesn't want to stick around with someone like, cause he's kind of tied to the book. He doesn't want to stick around someone who's just going to be rotting in a jail cell for the rest of his life. He's like, that sounds boring. Literally.
Yeah. Ryuk is very much like a trickster of sorts. And it all starts cause he's bored.
Yeah. That's why he drops the whole thing because he's bored. He kind of reminds me of like a Puck character from Midsummer Night's Dream.
Exactly.
Night. Really so Death God
exactly
version of
like.
Puck. Yeah, it's super
Death
cool.
Puck.
Yeah. I gotta say, I'm kind of glad that there aren't actual Death Gods who just get bored and decide to just mess with humanity.
Don't really know that
they
don't.
That's true. That's true. It could be, but
think about all the wars.
all those books I've got.
But so he decides like Light. There's no way. You don't have any way out of this. They clearly have you caught from every angle. You can't get out of this, and I don't want to stick around while you're in jail, so I'm going to basically kill you right now, and writes his name in the book. Once the name's in the book, there's nothing you can do to reverse it. And then that's where kind of the difference happens between the comic and the cartoon is in both of them, Light freaks out. In the cartoon, he actually runs away and dies by himself on a stairwell with no one around.
Almost kind of anticlimactically.
Sort of anticlimactically. And then in the other one, he's like screaming at Ryuk, like saying like there has to be a way to reverse it. And he's like, you should know better than anyone. There's no way to reverse anything in this notebook. And he's basically like screaming and having a meltdown in front of all these people who have been working for so long to try to catch him. And then he just dies right in front of them like a common criminal that he's been punishing all these years. And I've talked to a fair amount of people and they all kind of liked the idea of him kind of basically showing his cowardice and running away and then dying alone in the anime, but I'm totally about him basically coming apart in front of these people. That's what, like, it was such a build-up, and the Ryuk is such, like, an integral part of the last scene, because he's there, and he's just, like, he's got that same big, creepy grin that he always has, and he just writes his name, and is like, you did this to yourself, Light,
no,
and it's, like, it adds a lot of like kind of like depth and like power like to the scene sort of because it's so like he's totally powerless and he's showing it in front of all these people. It's I really prefer
that one sounds
the manga.
Good.
And
no,
that's
I
what
agree.
I yeah. What yeah. How did it end in the movies?
In the movie it's kinda like the anime
mm-hmm.
but a little off like so at the near the end, L, because in the first one, in the anime and in the manga, which is probably L dies.
Yeah.
Like, midway through.
Because Light kills him.
Right.
In the movie, he fakes his death, but still through that way that Light uses the book.
Mm-hmm.
And if I remember correctly, what happens is they switch the books.
There's a couple of books, actually.
Yeah. Which we haven't mentioned, but like, there's like mm-hmm. So there's obviously the book that from another death god. But
mm-hmm.
then there's the fake book, which I think they introduced in the anime.
I think they had some fake notebooks. They had some fake rules in one of the notebooks to throw one of L's potential successors off.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of, like, it's almost hard to remember how many different fake things happened because it would be such a mind game the
whole
time.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of happens here. So, like, L survives in the mm-hmm. movie, and he fakes his death, and then they catch Light at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much like, ha-ha, I got you. You got foolified. And Light's just there, like, oh, no one can see what I'm doing. I'm being like, very cocky right now. But he has this cocky stance of, like, how did you catch me? This is not right. And then he kind of loses it, but it's not enough.
It's nowhere not, near the
yeah.
anime.
Yeah. Like, when you talk about the book thing earlier, I was like, that sounds like a
I would
way
actually
better ending.
Pretty awesome. At least yeah. go back and reread, like, the last couple chapters of the manga, because it's, like, the way it's drawn, and he's such a good artist. Like, that writer and yeah. artist pair, like, are so good. It's super intense, and it's, like, really satisfying, because through the whole time, you're sort of, like, you're rooting for Light, because he's technically the protagonist, but he's also yeah. the antagonist of the whole thing. And it's just gotten to a point where it's, like, you're just, like, stoked for the team. Like, you want him to be taken down, and he gets taken down so hard, and it's not even hardly... I mean, it's sort of, like, their fault, because they're the ones who caught him.
Yeah.
But to see him fall to his own thing is, and then have a meltdown about it, and then just die on the floor in front of all of them yeah. is incredibly satisfying.
I was just gonna say satisfying.
Yeah. He's a very, like, through the whole story, like, you mentioned the thing of power, and, like, he exudes power a lot through mm-hmm. the whole story, and, like, he's very confident. Like, once he has this book and he has full control, it's like, that's the thing, he has power and control, and he shows that all the way through. You know, like, even, like, when they're kind of close to getting him, because there's those moments where L yeah. almost got close.
Yeah.
But he found a way, and, like, he's so cocky, and everything about it, it's like, nothing can stop him. Nothing can yeah. hurt him. He knows, like, he knows everything 10 steps ahead of time. And to finally, to hear that, like, there's this moment where he's just like, no.
But yeah, that's you know? No, I mean, what it's like, which is why I was like, oh my God,
yeah, it's like,
amazing.
That's gratifying.
He
has
an anime took it from
yeah,
me.
Yeah, they did.
Because he just ran away and died quietly on a scale by himself, and I'm like, why should he get to have that moment of quiet? Like, yeah, he's running like a coward, but I want everyone to see it.
He
you know
had
what I
the
mean?
Mother of all God complexes. It's just...
Yeah.
He was like... And it's just... It's really satisfying. I'm going to sound maybe terrible here, but it's just really satisfying to watch someone who thinks that they're a god fall to their own...
Oh,
like,
no, totally.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Yeah. And even for the character, it shows depth, too. Like, to see that... Mm-hmm. Let's say that was acted out.
Yeah.
That's way more challenging for the actor to even pull off.
That would be insane
just doing this
for
one
an
note
actor.
For the whole
right.
thing. This one death note.
Oh, stop
it. Did it.
Title drop.
Yeah.
Well played, good sir.
All of that being said, I am excited for whatever Netflix, like, because clearly they're already going a very different direction with L already. Because he's out in front of the public and he has his face covered, but that was not something he ever did.
No.
Yeah.
In the comic or the TV show. He was, like, hidden the whole time. He was, like, this weird little guy that ate a bunch of, like, cakes and
yeah,
stuff.
Sweets.
He
yeah.
was always
sat
eating
on his chair
sweets.
With his feet up.
Yeah,
like
which
always
he
still barefoot.
Does.
Yeah.
He still
oh, yeah.
does.
But it's
yeah.
a big thing in Death Note, too, because Ryu loves his
chips.
Apples.
Oh, yeah.
The chips they need.
The chips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you love these characters, Chase. They're right up your alley.
Sounds like
yeah.
it.
You're obsessed with candy.
Yeah.
Man.
One of the cool things about Death Note is it's that thing that's never, it's never going to get old. Like, it's never going to be, like, dated or anything, because nothing else has been like Death Note. That I can think
not
of.
Not that I can think of,
no,
yeah, that's true.
Really. Yeah, it's
yeah,
really
it can definitely, I think it can mm-hmm. grow with time. With
definitely.
The other thing, Death Note, I think it's probably because of just the strong character writing, and, you know, it's a very original idea for, you know, I mean, I guess that there have been people talking about, like, the Grim Reaper having a book or whatever that he uses to has his list that he goes and hunts people mm-hmm. down to, when it's their time to go, but it's just like it's a really original, interesting idea. But on the other hand, the characters are, it's so interesting because it's like you're rooting for Moriarty in a battle mm-hmm. of
yeah.
Moriarty versus Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
And
which
it's
I
just
totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting
and,
show.
And the visual designs of all the characters and the death gods especially, since there's Ryuk and there's, yeah. it, I mean, there's times where you can see the other ones in their, like, death god realm.
Oh, yeah.
But there's a couple others that get, like, involved with stuff, and they're really amazing designs, and just the complexity of all the mind games that everyone is basically playing with each other, mostly, like, versus L, and
yeah.
then his successors, Mello and Mir, which go by M and N, respectively.
You see what they're doing there. Alphabet things.
Yeah. it's
Who's
pretty incredible.
K?
Huh?
Who was K?
K.
K wasn't special enough.
I want to know the Special K, though. Yeah. I want to know the story about Special K.
You can be Special K.
Would that have been, like, the one who groomed L?
I don't remember hearing about other letters, but maybe you do.
I think there were a couple episodes in the anime that I missed or just have no memory of, but there's, like, an orphanage that L was from, that Mello and Nier are also from.
Yeah.
And it seems to be that kind of thing where it's like everyone there is like ridiculously smart.
Super.
They almost have this like autisticness about them too, because like you can see like
their characters,
their habits
they're
are very,
they have habits.
It's
exactly.
Kinda, it's kind of like Xavier's school, but for like slightly awkward, really brilliant children.
Children with Asperger's.
Really intelligent children.
I mean, Nier has a lot of the same visual habits that L does. Like, he doesn't have the sweets thing, but he's always building toys.
Yeah.
He's always crouching.
Mello ate chocolate all the time.
Yeah, Mello ate chocolate all the time, but Mello was really different from both L and Nier, and it was kind of cool. I don't like Mello as a person, but as a character, he was really cool.
I mean, and it's the thing with... I think that's why people really didn't like Nier very much. Nier's not a very popular character, because people are just like, oh, well, he's just, you know, a less good version of L, you know?
Yeah, he definitely did seem like L light, whereas
he was a little
Mello
flat,
was really, like, hot-headed and
crazy and ridiculous.
Had, like, a gang that hung out with him and stuff like that.
Yeah.
What was the name of the alter ego for Light? Was it Kira?
Kira,
yeah.
Is this spelled with a K?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Kira is K.
He was a special one.
Uh-huh. Oh, wait, what's the search for K? I don't know what that's about. What's that about, Chase?
Yeah,
why are you searching for K?
I don't know. I got questions. Where's Q?
Where's Q? I believe Q is in 007.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Another great...
And Star Trek, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. The next generation.
Star Trek. Star Trek.
Oh, yeah. Q was very, from Star Trek, was very much like a Puck character.
Mm-hmm.
Just thinking about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, but it goes to like Netflix is, just within these 2 weeks coming, it's like, it is doing amazing.
Yeah.
And, like, and they've come a long way. And it's just like they're going forward with even more better things, like, you know, mm-hmm. October, I'm pretty sure we're all pretty stoked for Stranger Things.
Uh-huh.
You know, season one was ridiculous. Anyone who hasn't seen it, Natalie, you gotta watch Stranger
Things.
What
it's on
are
my
you
list.
Doing with your life?
I've watched some list. Of the episodes, and it's totally, like, I'm all about that overall aesthetic, you know what I mean? It feels like, like watching Super 8, but not Aliens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's that Amberlin, like, you know, Steven Spielberg, 1980s kind of feel. You
I
know,
love that.
Group of kids, just mm-hmm. little underdogs fighting mm-hmm. the bad guy, whatever it is. Alien mm-hmm. monsters, another world.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love it so much. I can't wait for season two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now it seems like there's going to be this big freaking monster, like kaiju status.
Oh my god.
I've seen Charlie probably 1,000 times. Every time I see it, it's like, oh, what's going to happen if the whole world is engulfed in a big monster?
It's like, what was that movie, The Mist?
Yeah.
There was like another dimension that got opened up.
Yeah.
That's what I keep thinking of every time I see that. I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, snap.
Yeah, especially like the Mist with Tom Jane. Mm-hmm. And like they finally leave that supermarket. You see that giant foot come through the clouds.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my god, we've been seeing little dinky monsters coming to the supermarket mm-hmm. while the whole time there's been bigger beasts outside.
Yeah.
They're lucky it never stepped on the market.
They thought they were safe the whole time. What if they weren't?
Stranger Things as a whole kind of has like a little bit of like a Stephen King vibe.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like it kind of reminds me like if you crossed something like The Mist with, oh my god, I'm blanking on the name of that story. It's not even really a horror story. It's the
Stand
one where...
Stand By Me?
That's the one where they're going to find the body,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, that's
Stand By Me.
It's loosely inspired by And,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's that's what's great about that show is that there's so many 80s references. Mm-hmm. You know, it's everything. Like, from, like, you see it in the posters, whether it's in the storyline. You know, and they're keeping that going with this one. You see the kids wearing the Ghostbusters gear and stuff like that. It's like, oh, I love it. It's like, I'm reliving my childhood watching this show.
Except for the Demogorgon or whatever that thing's called.
Ooh, the Demogorgon. We all fight the Demogorgon.
I'm toothless.
That's my boy. I want him to like just, I want to do something super amazing because I feel like he tried to be amazing because I'm being held back. Because the other kid. I don't remember any of their names. I enjoyed it so much, but I'll never care that much for anything I watch. I don't care about names, but certain things just stuck out. Eleven and Toothless.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Yep. Totally forget the others' names. I think there was like a Mike, maybe a Billy.
Sure. I don't know.
The name Dylan is coming to mind. I could be wrong.
For some reason, like with things that I love, I think the more I like it, the less of a chance there is of me remembering the names of anything. I don't know why it works like that. But it does. Like I've almost finished watching the whole series of like Teen Wolf recently on MTV, and I probably can't tell you anyone's name. I just watched an episode last night. Don't know.
That's so funny.
Yeah,
I'm kind of in the same boat. I'm watching the Handmaid's Tale or the Handmaid's Tale.
Oh yeah,
on Hulu. I don't know any of their names. I'm on episode 9.
Like, what's a good show?
Yeah, it's a good show. I don't know their names. Oh boy, I just realized that.
It's weird how that works. It's so weird.
You just know what they look like, and you're like, oh, that character.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, it's that one again.
I guess I kind of have that too, but it's like when I'm watching a thing, it's because I make up my own name for them in my head, and they just go by like a nickname. Like I can't think of any examples, but I just that's my tendency. But that's because I'm bad with names. Just in general, just in life.
Yeah, no, I can't even. Well, it's not bad here because there's only like 10 of us, but at my old workplace, I didn't know anyone's name, and I worked there for like 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it was like retail, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm not good with names either. But
at least in a lot of retail, you have name tags so you can pretend like you know their name.
No, I'm not looking at your chest. I'm reading.
And no, I'm not reading because I forgot your name. I just saw it, so I read it.
I just was wondering how you spelled that. Seeing some different.
So I'm curious, what's with everything that Netflix has been bringing out, what's been like a standout thing for everyone that's made you like really like, I know for me, like, I've really been watching, it's like, I'm going to give every Netflix show and movie a chance, you know?
Oh, definitely.
Like, from things like, I've watched not just, like, we've been talking about horror sci-fi related things, but there's other things like The Get Down and House of Cards, you know, Orange is the New Black. Like, there's so many things that they provide that they're all amazing. They're all great. Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious, like, what was the show or the movie that really, like, it's like, hooked you in? You're like, all right, I'm in it.
Give me what you've got.
For me, it might have been Stranger Things. I'm trying to think which one came out. There was like Stranger Things, The Get Down, and Daredevil. Like, which of those?
It was Daredevil, Stranger Things, and The Get Down.
Those three, for me, I was
that's the order.
I was like, okay, I like Netflix. It's not.
So it took like 2-3 years, and Chase is like, all right. All right, you've proven yourself. It took 3 years, but I trust you now.
Because for the most part, I'd go on and like try to find like horror movies and stuff, and I want to stream them. I don't want to wait for it to come in the mail, and then I have to mail it back out, and then wait for the other ones that are on the list. Like, no, I just want to click, here it is. And so, like, I'll look for horror movies. There's, like, one or two that are like, hey, this is a legitimate horror movie. And then there's, like, 38 that are like, you've never heard of this, and here's why.
No, it does tend to go that way.
One of my favorite things to do on Netflix, though, is put on really bad horror.
Yes!
With my girlfriend.
Wonderful B-movies.
We're ripping it apart the whole time. Yep. But
there's a few in there that are like.
There's a few that are good.
It's they like just things you've never heard of, and it's a movie. It's like, this is actually a really good horror movie. Mm-hmm. How did I never hear of this?
Yeah.
It's confusing.
That's how I first discovered, John Dies at the End? Because I saw it on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is really good. Like, why is this not being pushed a little more than usual?
They just added back, I think, in preparation for Halloween, a bunch of, like, classic ones, though.
Oh,
Nightmare on Elm Street is back on again. What? Yeah, they just added it back on.
It always boggles my mind how they don't have the whole series on there.
They just have, like, number 3.
That makes me so mad.
This one is thankfully the original, but then once I watch the original, then I'm like, oh, I want to watch Freddy's Revenge. I want to watch Dream Warriors. Like, I want to watch the whole thing. but they only have like the one and then like a random later one. I wish that they would put more of like originals on there too.
They put American Werewolf in London up.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
I just saw that the other day and I was like, oh,
yeah,
I
they just put that one back up.
That's actually the first time I saw it was on Netflix. I didn't see it growing up. So I saw it like.
You were deprived.
Yeah, when they first threw it up on Netflix, or when I first saw it, I can't remember how long ago it was, like months ago, but saw it on there and I watched it. I was like, oh, there it is. Okay, now
so praise the Netflix for giving Chase the chance to watch.
Hello. Yeah.
How about you, Nat?
Oh, I think, honestly, I think the show that was really just like, wow, Netflix makes good shows for me was just Daredevil. It was really good. Although, currently, I'm really enjoying, like, their anime that they've been putting up. Like, Little Witch Academia is just, like, disgustingly too good for what it is. It looks like this really terrible show for kids. And then it's actually really good, and it has no business being that good.
No, that's just true. Like, I totally forget they've been doing a lot of cartoon and anime stuff.
Oh, totally.
Because, like,
I've
been watching, was it The Seven Sins?
That was so good, Seven Deadly
Sins. I did not expect it to be as good as it is.
They have a lot of good anime on there, actually. Yeah. They have a bunch, Agent and Knights of Cydonia and everything. By Nihei, and those are really good. They put Castlevania.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Recently.
I still have to watch that.
It's only four episodes long, so it'll literally take you an hour and a half to watch, but it's really good.
Yeah.
You watched it, right, Chase?
I watched it all in one sitting.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that was all in one
Actually, I didn't realize there were only four episodes, and then it stopped and went back to the thing, and I was like, but where's the rest? Because it's clearly not done. It's clearly just getting started, but it's so good.
I watched Seven Deadly Sins in one sitting.
Yeah.
It took me like
likewise.
5 hours, but it was worth it.
It was like one of those things, like I was about to get up to go get some food. Because I just do that like in between. It's like, the next one's about to play, so I'm like, okay, so I've got like X amount of seconds plus the recap of the last episode.
Right.
So I'm going to go throw something in the microwave real quick. I'm going to get some ice cream. So I'm about to get up and going, and I look at the screen, it's like another show. I was like, no.
Yeah. That's what it did to me, too. And I was like, hey, what are you doing? Go back.
Castlevania. Not that. Yeah.
Netflix must be glitching.
What are you doing?
Right. That's what I legitimately thought was happening. And then I looked and I was like, that's four.
Where's five?
The rest. Can I have it, please? Because it's really good. It looks amazing. The animation is incredible. Like, I watched it and got mad about Berserk. I'm mad about Berserk right now because it could look this good and it doesn't.
I think everyone's mad about Berserk, though.
Yeah, but this made me extra mad.
Yeah, man. Oh, keep that in mind.
But no, it's really good. So I definitely recommend that.
You haven't seen it yet?
No, I haven't. See, this is where I've been slacking. I didn't watch Castlevania. Because I'm watching all the other shows for you guys.
Watching all the Marvel shows.
All right, watch Iron Fist for me. I'll watch Castlevania for you.
Can we make the trade? I don't want to watch Iron Fist anymore.
I don't think I want to.
I'm kind of sad. Like, eventually there might be a season two, and I'm going to have to watch it.
I'll watch Iron Fist seasons one and two. Or no, just season two.
I wouldn't wish that upon anybody.
It's terrible how that happens, because like that storyline ties in with the other storylines.
Yeah.
You have
so like, once you watch the first season, or once you watch the other shows that tie in with it, it's like, well, now I have to.
No, that's what Wikipedia is for.
Just read the plot synopsis.
What happened on the internet is for.
Yes, true. I like being that person who watches like right as it comes out, because I want to find all the little Easter eggs myself.
That's fair.
You know, I'm huge on that Easter egg line. Mm-hmm. It makes me very happy. Like, oh, I totally found that.
That's
no one else caught that
after
little thing
every
right
movie,
there.
Like over the weekend, you come back and you're just like, I saw all the Easter eggs.
Yeah.
I'm a little kid when I see them. It gets me super excited.
I mean,
there's
a reason
really
they call it Easter eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I got to say, like, it's relative, the Iron Fist situation is relative like watching the CW shows. It's like, Arrow's okay, Flash is amazing. It's like, well, now I gotta watch Supergirl and Legends of Tomorrow to make sure that I'm on point with everything else. God damn it. Which is too bad, because there's really good things that could happen in both those shows. But
don't.
They just don't care to do that. yeah, that's what it brings me to watching Iron Fist. But at least Iron Fist is just one show, and not two other shows. Mm-hmm. So, like, what's something that Netflix provided for you to make you a fan?
Well, I guess the first, like a lot of people, the first Netflix exclusive show I watched was Orange is the New Black. I watched the first two seasons of that, and that was really good. And I haven't watched it since because I've heard kind of like mixed reviews on it since, but I really liked it. But the one that like really sort of like hooked me immediately was actually Voltron, which like we were just talking about is another one of like the cartoons and everything that they're kind of coming out with that they're doing on their own. And it's done by Lauren Montgomery, who did Avatar The Last Airbender and Legend of Korra.
Oh, I love me some Avatar.
And oh my God, I'm blanking on his name. Joaquin Dos Santos, who did the Justice League cartoon. Justice League and Justice League Unlimited.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Yeah. Cool. So those are the two, like, I feel like kind of main showrunners of it. And
nice name drops.
Here I am saying I'm bad with names, and then I pull those two out. Those are the only two I got.
But this person?
Yeah. I watched that, like, right when it first kind of came out. And it's funny because the first episode is actually like an hour long and the rest are all 22 minutes, like most cartoons. And it's funny because it sets the stage for the entire thing in literally an hour and everything happens so fast and is so intense. Like they're not wasting, they could have easily, if they wanted to, if it was an anime, taken a full season to do everything they do in episode one, but they just crammed it in. They're just like, we're just going to do this right now and move on to the rest of it, which was a little bit jarring to watch at first because I was like sitting there like, what is happening right now? This is so fast. But it's really, really good. The third season just came out and it seems like what they're doing now is they're doing like, instead of waiting like a year and a half and doing a 14 episode season, they're doing every few months, like 6 or 7 episodes.
Oh, that's cool.
Actually, no one knew when season 3 was coming out until Comic-Con, and they were like, it's happening August 13th. And I was like, this August 13th? Like, in like a month? Really? Like, it was kind of a shock. Like, no one really knew. And then it came out. It was only 7 episodes long. I was kind of bummed about that. But season 4 is happening in October, so I only have to wait, like, 3 months.
Before, nice.
Which is kind of cool. But that's, I know, has a pretty big following. There's a lot of fans of New Voltron.
Yeah, I guess that's one of those things I'm behind on. One of my good friends, he's always like, why the hell? And I'm using the word hell instead of another word. But it's like, have you not been watching Voltron? It's
that's
like,
a
you
fair
grew
question.
Up watching Voltron. You told me how much you love Voltron, and you had supposedly this big figure made out of metal of Voltron, which I did. We all did in the 80s, because back then everything was made out of metal, not plastic.
We went over that.
And he's like, why have you not been watching this goddamn show?
It's really
and it's
good.
It's like, I don't know. I don't know why I'm not watching it, but I should. I should be watching it. I'm going to put it on my queue.
It's definitely one of those shows that, like younger sort of, like, kids, like, could enjoy it, but as, like,
the
an adult.
As adults like us.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's something that they kind of got, like, some freedom for being on Netflix and not having to go along with whatever, like, Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network or any other, like, TV station has to set where it's, like, it's... Because that's, I never watched Avatar and I watched part of Korra and I couldn't get into it because so many of like the jokes and humor were just like, I was tired by it because it was clearly just for like, and there's a little bit of that in Voltron, but it definitely is sort of like, I feel like emotionally mature enough where it's like the characters are really good characters and they definitely kind of like hook you and grab you. And I never watched any of the older Voltron series, but...
Oh, well, you should.
I should. They actually do, now that Voltron is so popular, like, their own, like, their own series of Voltron is so popular, they have older ones that they're beginning to put on there. Yeah.
So that's what I'll do. I'll watch some classic Voltron and some brand new Voltron together.
Yeah. So that's what I'm kind of hooked on right now.
So I think for me, I'm the same as you. Like, I think I started watching Orange is the New Black.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was that, a mix of that and House of Cards.
Yeah.
I was watching those two shows, which, you know, Oddly enough, they, both of those things could be considered kind of like horror-like, in my opinion. Just more maybe House of Cards.
I'm going to say, like,
you're wondering, how, George? How can it be horror-like? Yeah. Because some scary-ass shit happens in House of Cards. People die. It feels more like it's a political thriller. That's what I would consider it, like a political drama thriller.
Is that like suspense and thriller? Yeah, probably.
Which lies in a sense of horror, because you need those elements, you know. And the main character played by Kevin Spacey, you don't mess with that dude. Dude is serious. Him and his wife, Robin Wright. Robin Wright is phenomenal in House of Cards. There's a reason why she's winning awards.
Of it,
yeah. It's like they're ridiculous. I think I want to say either the end of season one or like near the end. Kate Mara was in the show, and I'm pretty sure people have seen it. Like, there's been scenes where they make fun of it and everything. But he straight up pushes her into a train. And he was, prior to that, she was his side piece.
We're all aboard.
Like, yeah. Damn. And then he was just like, I don't need you anymore. Bam. Peace.
Why?
Push off.
I guess that's one hell of a breakup.
And then he just walks off like nothing happened. Oh. Yeah. Goes home, sees, and here's the best part.
That is pretty spooky.
Robin Wright's character knows about everything. They have no secrets. So she's like, is it done? He's like, yeah. He's like, I'm done with it. He's like, okay. And it's like she wants somebody. She's like, was it, you know, did you care for her? Or was it something else? He's like, I was just using her for whatever. I'm done. Okay, cool. Smoke a cigarette. Let's go about our day. I think I'm cold-blooded. It's like, they're practically like, it could be the Texas Chainsaw Massacre family. They're just in politics. I think if they wanted to eat people, they could easily fit that in there, and it would be totally normal and cool with them.
Man.
It's like, whatever. Just having a side of human liver as I get this bill passed.
Play some opera music.
Yeah, play some opera music.
Some classical music.
Yeah.
But no.
Straight up Hannibal
Lecter. It is not a joke. Seriousness. People just offing people.
Okay, so what's the horror in Orange is the New Black? Because I can think
Crazy
of, like,
eyes.
There's...
At least season one, like, first few episodes of Crazy Eyes.
Yeah.
Like, what's Crazy Eyes going to do? Like, is she really crazy? Is she going to eat someone's face off? Of course, like, now she's just this lovable character that I can't get enough of.
Yeah.
You know. Maybe Orange is the New Black isn't so horrible.
Well, there is...
It could be scary, though, to be in prison.
I think it was in season two, there was the one girl that the one guard, like, forced to overdose.
Mm.
That was a little bit unsettling. But, yeah, I don't know about horror.
Yeah. I could be stretching. I could be reaching.
It's
really
a little
hard.
It's a little bit stretched. Just a tiny bit.
Yeah.
What did Crazy Eyes threw some food? Was it cake or something?
Pie.
Pie.
That's so, like, the horror
I threw my
aspect.
Pie for you. Or something like that, right? Like, I connected with her at that point. I was like,
food was sacrificed in
your
name.
Yeah, there was food given.
Yeah.
She's right.
No, I will say in later seasons, though, like probably like season four, something, the Crazy Eyes ends up getting a girlfriend, and her girlfriend is possibly crazier than her.
Oh.
Yeah. And you said you only watched season two, up to season two, right?
I think so.
So... I might have watched. For you.
That's fine.
So
I'm not one of those people that gets like super picky about spoilers.
Good, because people die.
Well,
no one dies at this part. But she gets a girlfriend, and the girlfriend's like super latched onto her, and she can't let her go. And she's been taking her to like they end up like escaping prison for like a moment. All of the inmates escape together at once because all hell is broken loose, and they go for a swim. And the two of them, like, just go off into the forest, and they find, like, this little abandoned hut or house of sorts.
Uh-huh.
And she takes her there, and she's like, we're going to stay here. We're going to live together. And Crazy Eyes...
That's horror movie territory.
Exactly.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, right there it definitely is. And Crazy Eyes like, but no, but, like, what if we get caught? And, like, just she's still so innocent and so childlike, and she knows right or wrong still, you know.
Yeah.
To an extent, you know, and she knows this is wrong. It's like, we can't, like, we're out here having fun. But we got to go back, or we're screwed. You know,
right.
don't put us in the hole. I don't want to be in the hole. That's bad.
Yeah.
That's like how she talks. She's like, no, we can't do that. No, don't. It's wrong. I'm going to go now. Goodbye. I still love you. Okay. And another girl, like, she starts going, she's like, no, you're supposed to be here with me. You're mine. You don't love me. Bad. And she just goes all crazy. And then Crazy Eyes looking at her like, oh, bitch, you crazy.
And is all yonder status.
And they kind of like almost scuffle and everything, and the crazy eyes look scared. Which is something, because when you go back to season one, it's like, what would scare her? You know, she's the terrifying one. So that could have been like that little moment of like, oh, she's in danger. Like, this is some serial killer moment.
I could see that, especially if they're in a little abandoned cabin in the woods, because that always goes well.
Someone gets murdered in an abandoned cabin. Exactly.
I really need to get one of those.
And stereotypically speaking, like, Crazy Eyes is black, the girl from was white.
Yep.
Crazy Eyes would have died. Those are the rules.
Yeah.
Well, not just that.
That's the color. The rule of get out,
She would have been dinner.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
That's what happened. Yeah, Jeffrey Dahmer's test.
Statistically speaking. Never pick up a hitchhiker.
Chase. can we talk about that?
Sure.
Chase has told you guys, or if you follow Chase on his Twitter.
But
Chase picked up a hitchhiker the other day.
Are you kidding me? Why would you do that?
It wasn't on purpose.
By accident.
How does that? What the hell?
So, I was driving out to the ocean, and traffic was stopped up for some reason. It's never stopped in this area.
Mm-hmm.
It's like on Highway 116 heading towards Bodega.
Oh, that's weird.
And traffic was stopped, and then like an ambulance comes by me, and I was like, oh, no, nothing's. I'm not going anywhere. I'm gonna turn around and go back home and enjoy my night. So, I turn around, and I go and I pull off like by a side road. And there's like the little turnout spot and then the side road. So I'm not like in anyone's way. Like cars can go in and out wherever. Mm-hmm. And so I pull over, I'm just texting, and I hear a little tap tap on my window. I look over, and there's this guy kind of like nodding, doing like a thumbs up kind of thing. I'm like, oh, I'm okay. I'm cool. Yeah. And I give him a thumbs up back. Because I thought he's like, are you okay? Because I pull off the side of the road, right, maybe he's thinking there's a car problem or something.
And he's like, oh, I can't.
And then all of a sudden, opens the door. I'm like, oh, that's what he meant.
Just drive around with your door.
Yeah, that's why you locked your door.
That's what blew my mind when I heard this. Yeah.
When I park my car, the doors automatically unlock. And I did not.
And you don't
just
immediately
press the button.
Normally,
maybe
I do.
This is the habit that girls are into.
My car betrayed you.
Yeah.
I didn't know there's going to be a person there. Like, who's walking around? Like
usually,
it was around a certain area where there's typically like meth heads and stuff. But it was
was it out by? I don't want to say the town name.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, it was.
I think we all know where Chase was.
Dope bill.
we'll just say Stumptown.
Okay. All right. That works.
So he just gets in the car. I'm like, oh, okay. And I've got classical music playing. I was saved as one of my stations. And once in a while, I just got a classical kick, and I just play classical music as I'm driving through the woods.
Uh-huh.
And so he gets in my car. And I'm like, oh, I'm listening to classical music. I was like, this might be kind of weird for him.
Weird for him?
I mean, like,
got in your car.
I know.
A white guy driving down the side of the road listening to classical music.
Yeah.
And it's Chase.
And so, like, he's like, he asked me, like, I'm like, you going up to that name of the town? He's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, I'll take you there. And, like, so I'm starting to, like, I'm pulling out onto the road. And, like, he's like, are you an Uber? No. No, I'm not. And he's like, oh, I'll still pay you. I was like, no, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I'm assuming he didn't have money anyway, which later on I found out he didn't. And so then I'm thinking, like, of course I'm not an Uber. Like, I've never used an Uber, but I'm assuming there's some sort of process that goes through it, aside from just getting inside the car.
You have to, actually summon it with an app.
Yeah. And so
car usually has a sticker that says Uber or
it's
Lyft.
It's a sticker on the back. Yeah.
Your phone is actually set up in your car with, like, GPS so that they know.
Yeah. And so I'm like, oh, you should probably contact your Uber driver and let them know you're not going to get picked up so they don't go out there. And he kind of fidgets like he's going to get to his phone and do it. He's like, oh, it's okay. I'm like, it is not okay. So I've got my left hand on the steering wheel and my right hand clenching a fist down on my right knee, just ready.
Just in case.
I've never used my peripheral vision so much. I'm just like, if I see any weird movement, it's just knuckles to the face. It's like, and I don't know what else is going to happen after that, but it's not going to be good
for him, definitely,
but probably not for me either. And so, like, I start talking to him. I'm like, oh, yeah, there's this pizza place right here. Is that, you ever been there? He's like, oh, no, you know, I lived in this town, but I've never been there. I was like, oh, yeah, I used to live here. I never went either. I'm like, yeah, I used to live up here. And I pointed where I actually used to live. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, yeah, I did, like, construction work in this area. So I'm picking up these little tidbits. I'm like, if something goes on, like, I want to know about this guy. Like, okay, he lives in this area. He did construction work, which is probably illegal work anyway, because I don't think anybody living in that town is doing legal work to begin with.
I thought you were saying anyone would hire him.
there's like the little Main Street area. There's like, I don't know, a dozen businesses. Those are probably the only legal places to work there. Everything else, I'm assuming, is all just not
paid
okay.
Under the table.
Everything else is shady, under the table, weird stuff going on.
And he doesn't eat pizza, so something's clearly
wrong. Yeah, he's not even eating pizza. What's that about? And then it's at that point I realized, like, oh, I'm still listening to classical music as I'm just casually kind of talking to this guy. I'm like, I wonder if he's thinking I'm like one of those crazy white guy Hannibal Lecters that's just like, oh, yeah, I'm having a great day. Turn up the classical music. What are you doing for dinner? You know?
That's why he thought you were asking about the pizza place.
Yeah, he's probably like, oh, he's going to eat
me. Does he prefer people who eat pizza? Does it make me taste better if I say yes?
You know what is really funny to me is that you had the whole scheme in your head of, I'm going to find out everything I can about this guy in case something happens, and you could have booted his ass out.
You just accepted
him getting into your car.
I felt so awkward and weird at that point. Like, he literally just sat down in my car. I'm like, oh yeah, JK, get the hell out of my car. It's like, but you just, I'm like, no, get out. It's like, that just made me feel so uncomfortable. Mm. On top of the already uncomfortable part of having some random person get in my car.
Oh my God.
I'm like, man, this is just too much. I'm just going to drive 5 minutes down the road to this town and drop them off at Safeway and be done with it.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's what happened.
Where, actually.
I know exactly. What you're talking about. Yeah. That's one of the only places.
Part of Stumptown, yeah.
And that, boys and girls, is why you lock the doors to your car.
Right.
You know what's funnier about this town is there. Did they get rid of that abandoned amusement park that's there? It's still there, right?
Is it an amusement park?
JJ's
like
amusement park. It's kind of across from that.
I don't know. I haven't seen that.
There was, for a few years, actually, I went to a haunted house on the lot of the abandoned amusement park when they still had, like, the Ferris wheel was up and rusting.
Oh, that's fun.
And, like, one of those, like little caterpillar rides and one of those, like, scrambler things that spins you around in a bunch of circles. Yeah, it's, like, right across from the putt-putt place on the other side of the highway.
If I wasn't 112% sure that a meth zombie was sleeping in one of those cups, right? I would definitely go there and check that out.
They took all of it out a few years ago, and I'm kind of bummed by it.
That is sad.
I know.
Now Chase doesn't have another place to stash the bodies.
The parts I don't
eat. It's okay, he eats this.
The parts he doesn't eat, yeah.
Right.
I mean, you can't eat all of it.
I just love when you told me this, too, like you were saying that you questioned changing the music at one point.
Yeah.
To make him feel at ease.
Yeah, to make him feel more comfortable. And
but
I was
you
like,
didn't, because you didn't want to seem racist.
Yeah. It's because, like, I normally listen to all kinds of music. I'll listen to, like, rap and hip-hop, alternative rock, occasionally classical music, you know, pretty much anything. I don't like very much country, and I don't like very much punk, but everything else, you know, even grunge I like, you know, everything else I'm cool with. And I was like, oh, this is strange. You get in my car and listen to classical music. I was like, I should change it. And I was like, it's most likely like a hip-hop station, like a rap station. He might think I'm changing it just because he's brown and I'm white. And like, well, then I'm going to look racist. That's not right.
I'm like, screw it.
He's listening.
Such a long time. So much nuance.
Like, Chase had two options here. He's like, on one hand, I could look like a racist. Or I could look like a man who eats people.
Always go with eats people.
I want to go with eats people.
Always go with eats people.
I mean, to be fair, if you felt uncomfortable by him and you wanted him out of the car faster, leave the classical music on, because then he's going to be like, dude, I'm going to get eaten. If I stay here, I better get out now.
Who knows what would have happened if I turned it and it was like Tupac. Who knows? He might have been like, I feel comfortable now. The reason I didn't get my phone is because it's actually a knife. Stab. I'm like, oh, that hurt.
Oh my God.
So always play classical music when you're picking up hitchhikers that you don't mean
accidentally.
To pick up.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Just come across as a creep and they might not try anything.
Yeah.
And just keep a very subtle smile on your face the whole time. Because I think I actually kind of laughed to myself a little bit. And I was like, that's probably creeping him out too.
You just have to laugh your normal laugh and they'll run a little.
Oh yeah, I just have to just laugh at something. Just
like, ah. Oh my gosh, that would be so scary. Imagine getting in your car if I don't know you and we're driving around and all of a sudden you do that laugh. I'm like, I'm opening my own door and just rolling.
Tuck and roll, Grandma.
Tuck and roll, Grandma.
I'll take my chances with the road.
So, yeah. Be careful. You might accidentally pick up a hitchhiker.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's hilarious.
I'm very glad you shared that with us.
Yeah.
Well, you said you were always looking for creepy experiences.
And that was one.
Yeah.
I think
there
it was,
you go.
Honestly, I think it may have been more creepy for him than me. I don't know. It
could be. You were someone's creepy story.
Yes. It's like, oh man, that white guy was going to eat me. I've seen the TV shows. I know what they do.
You gotta make me wonder, like, how, like, if he tells this story to his friends, like, how does it go down for him?
Yeah.
It's like, I was waiting for this Uber on the side of the road. Cause remember, like, how I was left on the side because my girlfriend freaking dropped me off after smashing me in the head?
And oh, so, shoot. He had blood on the side of his head, too. Sorry. Now it didn't. It either wasn't his, or it was like, because he had his hair cut real short. It's like the really close buzz.
Yeah.
And so it could have either been like, I don't know, a pimple or something. It scratched and just bled, or like a mosquito bite or something. Because it didn't seem. It wasn't like, oh wow, you've got a gash in your head and you're bleeding from it. It was just like the one, like, clearly one drop of blood had rolled down a little bit. You know. So it wasn't like, oh my gosh, you were just in. Were you? I even asked him, like, were you in the car accident? He's like, no. I was like, okay. I was like, you got a little bit of blood on your head, man. And of course, I don't notice this until I'm already driving. I'm like,
oh.
Oh
my God.
I think you'd have noticed if it was a big gash on the side of his head.
Well, I gotta say, much like the hitchhiker that you probably ate, we have to go now.
Real quick before we do, though, back to Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
They're $20 billion in debt.
Are you serious?
Yes. Or so I've heard and read.
Oh, really?
So these shows are awesome, but is it enough to actually get them in the red?
I wonder if they are or were.
Are?
Oh.
I wonder if that's why they've been coming out with so many lately. Because it seemed like there was like a just a couple kind of like scattered throughout, like Orange is the New Black, House of Cards, like for a few years. And then all of a sudden now it's just like, here's 12 new things.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that's what they spent all their money on, and they're hoping to earn it back.
I'm assuming so. But now, how do they get it back? Like, you still just pay, was it like $7 to $14,
like
something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, not everybody still is piggybacking off of each other.
They've worked some of that out, though, like, to where now it's like you can only be logged into like one device at a time or something with your username.
Oh, I
or something. Like they did something like
what
that.
What it works, it's like if three people or something are watching it at the same time, like it'll boot, or four people, it'll boot someone off. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That happened to me once when some of my friends were using my Netflix and I called them and I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
This is my Netflix.
Yeah. I also wouldn't be surprised if they raised the price just a little bit now that so many different places and like things are introducing their own streaming services. Like Amazon is trying really hard to kind of like amp theirs up.
Yeah.
CBS has their new one coming out with Star Trek. DC has a few shows worked out for their own, which I'm super excited for. But just as a side note.
Nice. Well, yeah, we're definitely, we're in the streaming world now. Mm-hmm. It's taken over. But it's Another night, another podcast for that one.
Yeah.
As always, I'm George. With me is Eleni.
Have a good night, guys.
Natalie.
Take care.
And Chase.
Farewell, everybody.
Anytime you want to learn about our Fantasy Monsters conventions mm-hmm. or anything that's related to Fantasy Monsters, you can always visit FamousMonstersConventions.com or FamousMonsters.com. Chase, where can they follow us online?
Go to Twitter and Instagram. You can follow us at Famous Monsters. If you go to Facebook, it's Famous Monsters of Filmland or FMOFL. And on YouTube, search for Famous Monsters of Filmland. And we've got all our videos, we put our podcasts up on there, and we do contests all the time on our social media, so keep looking at social media. We give contests for listening to podcasts and watching videos, so pay attention to that. And also, we've got some meetups coming up. So we're going to be meeting up with fans in the area who want to go see movies with us, who want to go see...
Sounds fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like we're going to go see It on opening night.
I'm really excited.
That's going to be awesome.
Can I go?
Maybe.
You have to sign up on Meetup.
Yeah, you got to get on Meetup.
I guess I got to sign up then.
Yeah, so lots of cool things coming.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Well, plus our TV show on Coffee in the Bay Area.
Yeah, it's Coffee 20.
Coffee 20, yeah, at 10 p.m. Pacific time every Saturday.
Yeah, watch it. It is amazing. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of fun on it.
Oh, yeah.
Granted, you don't get to see me, but I'm there. He's there. I'm always there in the background. Always.
We're there in your hearts.
Yeah. So, till next time.